Someone going higher tonight, make that hand clap louder for Jesus. Make it louder for Jesus. Let's lift up our hands to heaven tonight and begin to thank him once again. Thank your Father who has made it possible for you to be before him once again tonight. Give him all the praise. You went out and came back today. The Lord sustained you. Why not thank him? Return all the glory to him. Give him glory. Give him praise. Your Father loves you. That's why you're here tonight. Why not ask for a word tonight? As the word of God comes, there is a word for you, a specific word for you. Ask that the Lord will send that to you tonight, that through my mouth, the Lord will send a blessing to you. Father, we say thank you. We bless and worship you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Someone excited, put your hands together for Jesus, and please have your seat. I count it a great privilege to be called upon to deliver the word of God to his people tonight. And I want to extend my thanks to our Father in the house, Pastor Yemi. I pray that I shall be a partaker of the grace upon his life tonight and be able to deliver a word of blessing to someone tonight. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, we shall continue on that topic that says engaging the power of passion in stewardship. Engaging the power of passion in stewardship. And all through the course of the month, we have learned a few things, including that the hallmark of a passionate believer is self-motivation in stewardship. In other words, a passionate believer does not need someone to coax them, remind them, beg them to do anything that they do in the house of the Lord. They are self-motivated. In John chapter 2, verse 13 to 17, Jesus was driven by passion when he chased away the money changers and those that sold doves from the house of God. Jesus' passion was very spontaneous. Once he was faced with a situation that was not good in the house of the Lord, that was not right to be associated with the kingdom of God, he acted spontaneously. There was no other consideration. There was no political, there was no ethnic consideration. He did not even consider his own safety. Amen. So because in that temple that day, I'm sure Jesus was not the strongest. But what did he do? He made a whip and started whipping people and chased them all away from the temple. He had no prior knowledge of what he was going to face when he got to the temple that day. But upon sighting what was not to be associated with the kingdom of God, he acted swiftly and spontaneously. That shall be you in the name of Jesus. A man of passion does not need to be reminded. He does not need to, you know, be coerced or begged to do what God needs to be done at the time it has to be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 to 22, Apostle Paul also demonstrated to us how far a man of passion can go when it comes to the things of God. The Bible says, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This means that a man of passion is ready to be molded. A man of passion is ready to be, is supposed to be malleable. God's things and the things of God should be able to make you to drop your reputation or whatever it is that you hold so dear just for the sake of the kingdom. That shall be you in the name of Jesus. A man of passion allows God to mold them into several shapes, reputation notwithstanding. Our Father in the faith, despite his tight shadows, we hear him testify. He goes out on Saturdays and witnesses to people, and everybody sees him and wondering how a man of his stature will come out to the streets and mingle with everyone. And some mistaking that act, and they say, oh, this man, he has so many churches, and the congregation is so great. What is he looking for? He's a man of passion. Praise the Lord. It's just passion that is driving him. And that same passion can be contagious. If you go to Faith Tabernacle, you see men, CEOs, renowned men, doing some things that some of us here will say, like, no, I'm not doing that. They wash the toilets. They clean the floors. Why? Because there is a man of passion at the helm of affairs. And when others look at him, they just, I mean, there's no way you see a man like that doing certain things and you still hold your shoulders high. Praise the Lord. Your passion shall be contagious in the name of Jesus. I went to visit a friend in one of the Muslim countries. And we got there and I realized that they worship on Fridays. First thing was like, why? You know, why would they do that? They should, Sundays that Christians worship all over the world, these people, you know. But I now realize that by that act, many Muslims come to church. They can invite them to service. And by so doing, they come to church because they were born worshiping on Fridays. And they work on Sundays. So if you hold your service on Sunday, nobody will come. How are you going to evangelize to them? Praise the Lord. So that's what we're talking about. Molding yourself, molding your circumstances, changing your situations to fit so that you can by all means save some. That shall be your story in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 9, using Christ as an example, it makes us to understand that there is a reward for anyone that is foolish enough to allow themselves to be molded. He says in verse 5 to 9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, who, though that he is God, made himself of no reputation, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was God, or is God, and make himself in the likeness of man. And he came to live amongst us. Verse 9 gave us reason why that happened. He said, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all name. So, Jesus allowing himself to be molded in the fashion of men just to come for you and I. The Bible says that the reward is that God highly exalted him and his name was given to be above every other name. So, passion is what fuels our consistency. A man of passion, a man that has accepted and allow God to mold him, is a man that will take a reward that God has reserved for those who have yielded themselves, and that shall be you in the name of Jesus. So passion fuels our consistency and steadfastness in stewardship. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, the Bible speaking in Philippians 3, 7 to 8, New Living Translation, say, I once thought these things were valuable. That was Paul. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one like him. That is a man of passion talking. He said everything else does not make sense. Nothing else matters. Why? Because everything else is below the knowledge of Christ, and he has discarded. Everything else is like garbage. King James Version says like dung. That shall be our attitude. Whenever we look at other things that might make us not to yield to what God wants to do with us, we must realize that as the apostles of old that have gone forth has said and behaved, as they have taken things, as they have looked at everything else concerning them and said they are garbage, that is what your testimony shall be in the name of Jesus. But passion is not a gift. It's a decision that is stirred by one's unreserved love for God and interest of the kingdom of God. Like Elijah, we see that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. Elijah met with God and he was moaning, he was complaining. But I want us to see something that is very instructive in that conversation. He says, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Elijah, in the midst of persecution, in the midst, almost at the point of his life, was still confessing, saying, God, I am still standing here. Now put yourself in his position. If you are in a group and all of you are professing Christ and others have been caught and killed, Will you still stand and be saying, yes, Lord, I'm still here. I am the only one left. Some of us would, may God help us in Jesus' name. Today, we shall be looking at part 6 of the topic that says, engaging the power of passion for stewardship. Now, we have tried to define stewardship, passion, in several ways. And today's definition says that passion means compound passion. Papa used that word. He says it's compound passion. And what it means is having passion for just a lot of people. Compound passion, compassion. Passion is a product of one's compassion for others. Passion is a product of one's compassion for others. So if you have compassion for others, then you're a man of passion. Nehemiah 1, verse 1 to 11, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, we saw what happened. Nehemiah was a very comfortable man living in the king's palace. Then message came to him. I'll read that scripture. When Nehemiah asked his brethren, Hanani, about the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. Please, let's remember, Nehemiah had no reason to be worried about what was happening to others. His life was sorted out. He was comfortable. But he could not rest until he knew and was able to help the Jews that were in Jerusalem. Now, the Jews in Jerusalem represent, as we are sitting down here now, every member of Winners Chapel International Calgary. It could be the Jews that they were telling Nehemiah about. And Jerusalem itself represents the kingdom of God in totality, like everything that concerns God's kingdom. So Nehemiah was basically asking about the well-being of God's people and the well-being of the kingdom of God. That's a man of passion. He didn't have to. He just did not have to, but he did. In verse 3, the answer they gave to him, they said, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burnt with fire. Now, here is his response. And it came to pass when I heard his word that I sat down and wept and mourned several days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah became an intercessor in praying day and night for the Jews and for Jerusalem. He confessed the sin. The Bible says he confessed the sins of the children of Israel that they have sinned against God and reminded God in verse 10 that these are his people. He was doing everything that needed to be done to draw God into that situation. He said in verse 10, now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by the strong hand. Verse 11, Nehemiah concluded his prayer by asking for God's favor as he plans to approach the king to ask for assistance in rescuing the Jews and fixing the wall of Jerusalem. There is nothing that is too difficult for a man of passion to do when it comes to the kingdom of God. There is absolutely nothing that is too big, too much for him to do. He had a choice to ignore what was happening to the Jews and what was happening to Jerusalem. He was in a position, enviable position. He didn't have to do that. But passion does not only nudge us into action, it also fuels our consistency and steadfastness in stewardship. If you're a man of passion, you're just not doing one thing. It makes you consistent in that thing you're doing, and you continue to be steadfast in it. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? In verse 37, he gives us the answer. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So a man of passion might be passing through difficult circumstances and situations. All the things that are listed in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, they are terrible things. He mentioned tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, even nakedness. Let's say the last item of clothing you have has just been burnt in a house fire. The scripture says a man of passion will still be a man chasing after God at the interest of his kingdom. That shall be you in the name of Jesus. There are no substitutes to passion in one's quest to accomplish any task. There are no substitute to passion. If you're writing an exam and you're not passionate about it, well, you fail it a few times before you learn your lessons. If you're a man that you're chasing after a job, you go for an interview and they're asking you a question and you're not even hearing what they are saying, and they have to repeat the question, then your mind is not there. You didn't go to that job hunt with a passion. And you may not get it. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, verse 10 to 16. And when he came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, My Father's house shall be called the house of prayers, but you have made it into a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were so displeased. So, please, the reason I read this scripture to the end is for us to see that your passion may attract some bad people to you. Your passion, it's not everybody around you that will clap for you when you're exhibiting passion for the kingdom of God. But that's not something that should distract you. In verse 16, and he said unto them, "Hearest thou what they say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Jesus answered everything with the scriptures. As they were complaining and telling him that these people are praising you too much, "Have you not heard them? Can't you say something?" And he told them, "Look, it is written." Praise the Lord. That is how you silence your enemies, in the name of Jesus. Jesus knew very well that he was getting into a lot of trouble with the authorities, both the political and religious authorities of that time, by what he was doing. I don't know how many people were in the temple trading. They might have come from everywhere. It might have been good for the economy of that nation, but it wasn't good for the kingdom of God, and Jesus would not have it. Praise the Lord. Every obstacle in the way of you exhibiting your passion, when they come, let's remember what Jesus did and be able to answer them and not let them stop us in our track, in the name of Jesus. A passionate steward is a strong believer, and the scripture that says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both souls and the body in hell." That is something that should be driving a man of passion. One preacher says that the fear of God kills every other fear. Praise the Lord. The fear of God, a man that is afraid of God himself, man that fears God, that is passionate about the kingdom of God, is not afraid of anyone else. That shall be you, in the name of Jesus. In other words, a passionate believer is one whose focus is on the goal and will not be distracted. What is more, a passionate steward makes the most of the resources that God has blessed him with. In Luke chapter 19, verse 17 to 19, we see that the reward of passionately applying one's talent and resources. Jesus said to that servant, "Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." We've always mentioned that passion, when you, just like everything we do for God, none goes unrewarded. Your passion for Christ goes unrewarded, comes with a lot of reward. I was telling some people about the kingdom of God, and I was telling them that the church has been fasting forever. I mean, church, if you're a member, if you're a Christian, you know we're fasting. But just a few years ago, 10 years ago, the world began to see the benefits of fasting. I don't know how many people understand what I'm saying. So we now encourage people to fast. They don't go to church. They don't go to any religion, but we tell them to fast. We call that intermittent fasting, because it's good for diabetes, for obesity, for hypertension, for sleep apnea. It's good for so many things. But you and I have been in this kingdom, and from the time we started coming to church, we are made to fast. Some of us didn't know that there are benefits. Apart from eternal benefit, there are other benefits attached to it. We didn't know. And that is why a man of passion who is said to take advantage of everything that God has made available in the kingdom stands to gain. You may not even know what God is doing for you. But science have now found out that if you fast, you can save yourself from diabetes, from obesity, from hypertension. Well, we tell them, well, that's what we do in church. Praise the Lord. What about fellowship? We tell people, for your mental health, make sure, don't stay by yourself. Go and interact with people, you know. But we come here every Sunday, every Wednesday. In fact, sometimes we come from Monday to Friday, and some people are complaining. Praise the Lord. If you know what God is doing for you in this kingdom, you will be passionate about it. May God open our eyes in the name of Jesus. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit to keep our passion for God ever burning. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. And hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit, in addition to fueling our passion, also serves as a link to God's heart. Any believer who desires to maintain the love of God must partner with the Holy Spirit in their daily walk with God in order to maintain the love of God in their heart. And as we love God, we must also love one another. The Holy Spirit is also our guide into all truth. Verse 12 of that scripture. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This is a man of passion who is partnering with the Holy Spirit and just moving the kingdom of God forward. Now, one of those advantages, one of those benefits is that the Holy Spirit becomes your partner. Now, if the Holy Spirit begins to show you the things to come, tell me how you will ever make a mistake in your life. If the Holy Spirit partners with you and he's the one who's showing you things to come, you know, errors become so far away from you. Praise the Lord. A passionate steward in the kingdom of God is the one who does not only say what they hear from the Holy Spirit. Who only says what they hear from the Holy Spirit? Now, if that man is being led by God, that means that you don't have any instances where you have to go to beg for forgiveness because you've said the wrong thing. Why? Because everything you say is according as the Holy Spirit has led you. Praise the Lord. I would just give us two examples from the scripture of men and women of passion before we close tonight. Esther was one of them. Esther is a passion-made woman. In Esther chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says he was driven by passion when he called for a fast. He called for a fast because the Jews again, that's the children of God, they were in trouble and somebody needed to save them. Esther needed to appear before the king to plead for the cause of the Jews. If you read that scripture, Esther 4, verse 16, and you can also read Esther chapter 5, verse 16. The result is in chapter 5, verse 16. Before she made that request, because of her passion, she had gone to fast, she and her maids, and by the time she appeared before the king, every item of request that she presented before the king was granted. What happened? God used her to save the Jews. Now, it was a calamity that was coming to the Jews, but because somebody of passion stood up, God used her to avoid that calamity. That shall be you in the name of Jesus. Another one is Peter. Peter is a gospel-made giant. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, the Bible tells about an encounter between Peter and Jesus. Peter had gone to his business, and that day was just a bad day. Nothing was happening. And Jesus appeared on the scene. At the end of a frustrating day, Peter should be very irritable and chasing everyone away. He just wants to go home. Jesus came and said, can I use your boat and preach? And Peter allowed that. And the result is in verse 6 of that scripture. They enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net break. By simple obedience and passion, God gave Peter a testimony. Now, that's not the end of it. If you look at verse 11, when they now finished and came to the shore, the Bible said that everyone around there, because they witnessed what happened, everyone around there followed after Jesus. Praise the Lord. A man of passion is a man that will always draw people to the kingdom of God. I'll close with this story because there is a negative passion When we talk about passion, there is also something negative about it that we could do. The Bible talks about those that have zeal for God but without knowledge. For instance, there's a story of a woman, he got married, it's a real time story, and the husband wasn't a believer. But a good man, she believed that the man would come to Christ. So she managed to convince him. And one day they came to church. Because he doesn't normally come to church, his phone was not turned off. So in the midst of the service, everyone was quiet. So his phone rang really loud. And everybody in church turned and looked at him. Some looked at him, stared at him for a long time. And when they were going home, the wife was very, very bitter. How can you do that? How can you do that? And the thing led to so many quarrels at home and all that. He was castigating the man. So that night, the man went to join his friends and they went to drink. When they got to the bar, he was narrating the story to the barman. He said, what happened to me today? And the barman said, no, don't worry. These type of things happen. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not the end of the world. And the man said, this man that sells alcohol to people is the one consoling me. And all the Christians that I met in church, everyone wanted to kill me because my phone rang. And it was only God that saved that man. And, when he went home and narrated the story to the wife. So what am I saying? We could be passionate for God, but please, let's be careful. When people come to church, they may be new. They may not know our means and the ways we do things. Please, be patient with them. Please, be patient with them. Don't chase them away by tradition of men or the things that we normally hold dear to ourselves. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. Please, let's stand to our feet tonight. I want to just ask that any one of us here who wants to be a man of passion for Christ, I want to let you know that giving your life to Jesus is the first step. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, I want to quickly pray this prayer before we invite our Father in the faith. If you haven't given your life to Jesus here, or if you're watching us online, please say these prayers with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I recognize that giving my life to you is the first step to making me a man, a woman of passion. Father, forgive me of my sins. I recognize the work of salvation that was done for me. Father, from today onward, I call you Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you pray that prayer, please contact us and let us know and pray along with you. Put your hands together for Jesus as we invite yourself.
Hallelujah.